Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck. We're coming to you from Herb's Coffee House in Dallas, Texas. We've got a great Bible study in store for you. The title of this, I love the title, Time and Eternity.
Love it.
Time and Eternity. We're in 2 Peter 1, verse 14. And I want to begin by reading this verse. And it really starts in the middle of a sentence, but it really gives us a unit of thought. And verse 14 reads, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. What Peter is saying, Kent, is that he realizes that he is standing on the precipice of eternity. Earlier in John 21, before Jesus ascended back to heaven, Jesus told Peter that he would die a martyr's death. Mm-hmm. That he would be crucified. He just didn't know the time. He didn't know when. And it's been 40 years since Jesus made that prophecy. And Jesus has now made it known to Peter that that time is now here. That he has run his race. He's kept the faith. And he's come now to the end. And so Peter realizes that it's soon to all be over for him. But he's not cringing. He's not fearful. He knows that his death, even by persecution, will usher him into the immediate presence of God and of Christ. And so he has great confidence. He has great assurance that when he dies, he will go immediately to be with the Lord, that he'll graduate to glory. And so while he's here on the earth, that continues to be uppermost on his mind, that the best is yet to come. No matter what trials, what difficulties he undergoes in this life, that the best is yet to come 5 seconds after he dies. So let's just walk through this verse. It's verse 14. And he says, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent. Earthly dwelling is really a picture, it's a metaphor of when his earthly body will be laid aside, put into a grave, if you will, and his soul and his spirit will go immediately to be with the Lord. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that time is now imminent. And the word imminent means swiftly approaching. The end is near. And he knows this because at the end of this verse, he says, as also our Lord Jesus has made clear to me. And we're not told here how the Lord made this known to Peter. Peter was an apostle. They received direct revelation from God. And so they lived at a time in which they were receiving divine revelation. And it was made known to Peter that now the end is here. Well, Peter has not stopped pouring himself out, witnessing. In fact, what's he doing? He's writing this letter, 2 Peter. He, even in the face of his own death, he's getting the word of God out. He doesn't know if he has only days left or weeks or months, whatever that would be. But the window is closing of his time here. And so he's all about investing the truth in the lives of others. And so, Kent, that's how we ought to live. Mm-hmm. Our time is short.
Yeah.
Even if we were to live another 10 years or 15 years, relatively speaking, compared to eternity, our time is very short here. And so we've got to invest our time, our talent, and our treasure mm-hmm. in getting the word of God out as wisely and prudently as we possibly can. And that's exactly what Peter is doing here as his death is imminent. He's writing 2 Peter to get more of the truth out, to protect the church from false teaching, to encourage the saints, to stir them up in their faith. So, Kent, let's talk about this, about living on the edge of eternity.
Yeah. So I think, Steve, and I guess this is my question, and it seems that we have, you know, our age, we see people that die.
Uh-huh.
We go to funerals,
yeah.
And there's a sense where we think that's somebody else and not me.
That's good. Yeah.
And so how do we better prepare ourselves of the reality that we are too going to die? How do we get our brains around that and really believe it and not just think it's someone else?
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Well, for me, and I'm sure for you, Kent, it really begins with the Bible.
Yeah.
And reading the Scripture. And I think it's Psalm 90, verse 12, that says, "Teach us to number our days, mm-hmm. that we may present to you a heart of wisdom."
Mm-hmm.
I'm consciously aware that I have been given only a certain number of days, mm-hmm. and I don't know how many more of those days I have.
So you think about that a lot.
I think about that a lot, mm-hmm. and I don't have any just throwaway days.
Right. That's good.
I've got to invest them as though this could be my last
day. Wow, that's great.
Day. And Psalm 139 says all of our days were written in his book when as yet there's not one of them. I think about Jonathan Edwards, who wrote those 70 resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Oh God, stamp eternity on my eyeballs."
Wow. Yeah.
In other words, that he would see every mm-hmm. temporal circumstance in light of eternity, mm-hmm. that he would see every person that he meets in light of eternity. That he would measure every opportunity in light of eternity. What will be important 10,000 years from today?
Mm-hmm.
And so we tend to be focused on the temporal.
Yeah, we do.
Like, what am I going to be doing in 15 minutes? Mm-hmm. What am I going to be doing in 30 minutes? And we lose sight of the long look.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get the long look, then the next 15 minutes really comes into focus on how I need to invest my time. But Kent, you know me well, and you know that this particular aspect of truth, it weighs heavy on me.
It drives you.
I mean, it's kind of like you're playing a football game, and you're under the 2-minute warning, but the scoreboard doesn't actually tell you exactly how much time is left, and so there's a sense of urgency,
yeah.
of picking up your pace and pressing to the finish. And I know we're all wired different,
right.
and not everybody can live in a 2-minute offense.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I mean, that's just kind right. of, I'm over in the HOV lane,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
trying to speed ahead.
So, Steve, do you think it's, what you're saying, I think, is that you think it would be healthy, and the Bible teaches it's healthy, that we live like we're dying.
Yeah.
We live like we know we're dying.
Yeah. It's been said you're not ready to live until you're ready to die.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're ready to die, now you're ready to really live
mm-hmm.
for the Lord. And there are works that God has given to us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And in John 9, verse 4, Ken, if I could just read John 9, verse 4, it's a verse that's always meant a great deal to me. Jesus said, "We must work the works of him who sent me
mm-hmm.
as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work."
Mm-hmm.
And night is the approaching hour of his death.
Mm-hmm.
Day is the amount of time that he has left to serve the Lord. And Jesus said, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day."
Yeah.
And he said, "We," which included his disciples,
mm-hmm.
not just Jesus. He knew he was on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
His hour was coming. But for each one of us as believers, we need to be consciously aware
mm-hmm.
that soon, sooner than we think,
mm-hmm.
we're going to step out of time and into eternity.
Right.
We're going to step out of this world and into the world to come.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to leave behind a legacy
yeah.
and influence. And we need to make certain that we have invested our life wisely
mm-hmm.
in the gospel, into people, because it's been well said there are only two things going out of this world, the Word of God and the souls of men.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to invest wisely in the Word of God and in the souls of men. So, Ken, I see our time's almost spent. Is there anything else that we need to talk about?
Well, I think, just one more question.
Yeah.
I think that not only would it motivate us to do what we should do for the Lord, but what else does it do in your mind? Maybe something else that's really that helps us put in perspective not only to live for the Lord, but if we have a short time, what else, what other benefit is it if we keep that in the forefront of our mind?
Well, I think it speaks to, I think of 1 Corinthians 3, that either we're building with gold, silver, and precious mm-hmm. stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. Mm-hmm. And God is after quality, not quantity. Mm-hmm. And so it's not how much, but what kind. Mm-hmm. And so we need to invest strategically with maximum rate of return for the investment of what we have to give to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so it's not, in a sense of urgency, we just frantically start doing everything we possibly can. Mm-hmm. But we have to be very calculating and very discerning mm-hmm. concerning these opportunities and to pour ourselves into that which appears to us to be the will of God, and to do so with a heart for the glory of God.
Yeah. And for most of us, if we're not a preacher, that would be one-on-one, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Whether it's with our children or
absolutely.
Friends.
And just think of the influence of a mother
yeah.
with her children.
Mm-hmm.
There may be no greater influence
yeah.
in the world
yeah.
than a mother with her children. Leaving an influence that will mm-hmm. last as long as that child is mm-hmm. alive.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us today on Steadfast Hope. I hope this has been an encouragement to you to think about eternity and for you to think about the nearness of your passing from this world to the next. And you need to have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to have eternal life now. You need to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ now, today, this very moment, if you've never done so, so that you would be prepared to stand before the Lord one day and to be received by Him into His presence. Well, thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson with Kent Steinbeck. We look forward to our next time together with you. Thank you.